I've preached here, and this is the second time that these two sisters have blessed my heart with a song. I'm still just feasting on how faithful he is. He's faithful, isn't he? And just to know that I have that blessed hope. And not only do I have that blessed hope, but I know I have that blessed hope. We are in a day where, and I say this a lot, but I mean it from the bottom of my heart, that we have a lot of individuals who will say, I hope I'm going to heaven. Well, I know I'm going to heaven because of the blessed hope that he gives me. I don't want to just take it for granted anymore on the way here. And I think I preached this on Wednesday when I was talking about the seriousness of the hour. We're in a serious day, aren't we? If you weren't here this morning, there was a prayer request about some soldiers being shipped east. Now, we know what's going on over in the east, don't we? It's happening. It's occurring. Whether they're preparing for it or it's getting ready to happen, we as Christians, as children of God, must be prepared in prayer, prepared of his presence, prepared to praise him. Amen. I like what the brother said this morning about the world would look at us and think, why in the world are they so excited when things are so bad in their lives? I mean, we come in a time where you have so many people putting down the church, and you have so many people trying to, and successfully, unfortunately, decimate his word and pervert it. But I can tell you this right now, I have something that they don't have, and that's hope. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Job chapter number 19. Job chapter number 19. We will be reading from just three verses this morning, verses 25, 26, and 27. I won't try to take up much time, but I won't alleviate the time that he's given me. Job 19 verses 25 through 27. Once you find your spot, would you please stand with me for the reading and reverence of the Word of God? We see here in the book of Job, and we know we're very familiar about the occurrences here. And we understand that as the brother was teaching this morning about how the world does not understand the predicaments as Christians we get put in. We may not have the nicest things or the most lavish things that the world has. But as I said just a few seconds ago, we have so much more than this world has to offer. Amen. Read with me real quick in this study. We see that Job is sitting here and he says this, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth." Let's say that one more time. "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me." Father God, thank you so much for the day that you've given us. Thank you for the confirmation of the message once again. God, thank you for the songs that have been sung and these brothers and sisters, Father, that have journeyed to be here with us and with you, Lord God. Father, I'd ask that you would just bless us. Allow your way, Father, Lord, to take hold. Lord, remove me of self, God. I can't preach without you, for you are the preacher. Lord, I pray that, Father, if there be one, two, three, however many that are lost here this morning, God, that they would understand that, Father, this is not just something passing through, but, Father, you are real, and you are on the throne, and, Lord, you are in control. God, I love you, and I thank you for all that you give in your Son's sweet and heavenly name, and amen. You may be seated. As I woke up this morning, I thought of this, and I've been thinking about this since I've gotten saved. I am glad that my sins have been forgiven. I'm glad that even though I fail, that he forgives me. And not only does he forgive me, but he keeps me. And no matter what this world wants to throw at us, we're his, amen. It's all too often where they think that they're in control, but I know my God is in control. I know my God is able, don't you? I know my God is faithful. But I see here, and we look at Job real quick, and if I was to ask you to raise your hand and ask you who knows about Job, I guarantee that everyone here would raise their hand. I would ask you this, if you have a mama, that if she ever said as you were getting in trouble as a child, "Please, Lord, give me the patience of Job," I guarantee a lot of people's hands would raise up, wouldn't they? We understand here that Job was a man of faith. He was a man of wealth. He was a man of understanding. And we see in the first chapter here that a lot of things immediately take place in Job's life. We understand here that as Job is beginning to, he offers sacrifices not only for himself, but also for his children who are living worldly. We see that he went from having a great deal to having absolutely nothing at all. You see, that happens a lot, doesn't it? One moment you're up on the mountain, the next minute you're down in the valley. One minute you have everything, the next minute you can't find anything. But we must remember as children of God that, hey, if we have Jesus, we have everything. I think that's worthy of one more repeat. If we have Jesus, we have everything. We see here throughout this blessed book the trials and the tribulations that the church goes through, that Christ's people go through. And all too often the world would look at things that happened to Peter and things that happened to Paul and things that happened to Job right here, that they would say, you know what? This man would have been justified in him just laying down and dying. In fact, we understand that his wife even said that. Curse God and die, which is a completely different message in itself. We understand that Job had three, they called him friends. They were attempted comforters, but hey, with friends like this, who needs enemies? Amen. We see here that in just the first few verses alone in the first chapter that the Sabines took his cattle and killed his servants. We see that his sheep and more servants burned up. We see that that the Chaldeans stole his camels and killed more servants. I'm going to be honest with you. I wouldn't want to work for Job. Amen. I wouldn't want to work for Job. If anyone here remembers Enron, this is kind of what's going on. It wasn't just the master in trouble. It was the workers also. We see here not only that, but boils struck his skin. We see that his health is failing. We see some of the saddest occurrences throughout the Word of God that he lost his children. He lost not one, not two, but he lost his seven sons and three daughters. Now, to be honest with you, I don't know what that's like, and we know that we have perhaps people here who knows what it's like to lose a spouse or a child, and I've never known that pain. But can you imagine what Job was going through, losing all of that at once? And the world would have said, hey, he's justified in just laying down and dying. But Job said something, and this is what I want to preach on this morning. I know my Redeemer liveth. I serve a living God. Amen. It's not some wooden idol. It's not some gold-laid, fictitional, I guess you would say, trinket. My God is real. I didn't understand this. I'm going to say this again. My God is real. And I'm not looking for an amen for myself. I just want you to understand that God is real. And God is saving. And God is taking care of His children. So we cannot just lay down and die. We must be about the Father's business. We see Job here. As we look real quick in verses 25, we see that Job knew his Redeemer. I know my Redeemer. Verses 25 says this real quick. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. I want you to understand that when Job declared that he knew his Redeemer liveth, that he was declaring unto these men who were in all aspects just really putting him down and saying, well, Job, this is all your fault. But he's standing here saying, whether it's my fault or not, I serve a God in heaven who is taking care of me. Remember, he told Satan to only go so far. He said, don't take his life. Life is precious to God, by the way. Life is precious to God. But we see here that Job has a certainty. He's certain. He knows for sure. And I began to look at that word certainty, and it honestly means fixed. Now, when you set something, when you put something in order, it should not be moved. There are certain things in your home that should not be rearranged because you might break them. I was looking recently at a hutch, and we all know what a hutch is, right? I mean, it's that one thing that mom or dad put something so precious in it that you better make sure that as you walk past that hutch, you are going as slow and careful as possible. Because if you break that one thing, they're going to know. So I began to think that if you would relocate that hutch, you would possibly crack the wood. You would possibly shift the stabilization of that hutch. And then pretty much it just takes one good move and it'll break completely. But if you fix it in a certain point, it's unbreakable. And that's what we see here right now is Job is saying that I am immovable. It's unbreakable. You can't shift me one way or the other. I know my Redeemer liveth. He says, I know my Redeemer. But we also see that his Redeemer knew him. Hey, that's what it means. That's really what it means, right? It's not just that you know that Jesus is alive, but it's about if he knows you or not. We know that everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall not enter into heaven. So you better make sure. But I want you to look real quick, or I want you to just take a moment with me real quick in verse 8 of chapter 1. It says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? I'm amazed that he thinks about us. I'm amazed that the very thoughts of me are that of the greater of the sum of the sand, that he has every one of my hairs on my head. Some of you may say, well, I don't have many hairs left. Hey, he remembers him. Brother Fields is raising his hand back there. But hey, he remembers the ones that you lost, amen? Right. And I guarantee he knows exactly where those are. Right. But we see here, hast thou considered my servant Job? Hey, Job is going through a trial like any other. Right. Like none other, excuse me. But we go through those too, don't we? But it's amazing that we remember that not only do we know the Savior, not only do we hold on to Him, but He holds on to us. If we draw nigh unto Him, what will happen? He will draw nigh unto us. It's not about going and finding the next self-help book. It's not about going and finding the next possible greatest fix that you can have just so you're not in an amount of pain. That perhaps you have a doctor or you seek out man's help. Take it to the Lord in prayer. So we see not only that Job knew his Redeemer, but we also see in verse 25 that Job knew his Redeemer lived. Verse 25, we see here, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. Now, I want to tell you something. I mentioned this Wednesday. Unfortunately, Christy lost her nanny on, I believe it was Tuesday. Now, nanny is her grandmother. That's what we called her. We called her nanny. My grandchildren, they have nannies, they have papaws, they have mamaws, they have nanas, and we lost our nanny. Now, nanny has gone on to be home with the Lord, and I'm jealous of her. I'm sad because I miss her, but I'm excited that she doesn't have any more pain. But here's the thing, I can't talk to my nanny anymore. I can't call her on the phone. Why? Well, because she's not here. She's with him. All we have right now is that old tabernacle. But we see here that Job knew his Redeemer liveth. And I believe this, that hey, our God lives and we can go to Him at any time. We can go to Him at any time. We see that Job did not know what the next moment would happen or the next few seconds would happen. Even the brother taught this morning that God is a lamp before our feet. Amen. He is our path. But He only shows us how far He wants us to know. He told us to take no thought of tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen the next 5 minutes. Glory be to God if He allows time to stand to the end of this message and he comes back and we hear that trump. Hey, you know what? That's okay with me too. But as long as I'm here, I know that He has a purpose for me. And I don't think the dead have a purpose for the living, do they? But when they were living, they did have a purpose for us. I think about Nanny real quick. I'll tell you, she had a desire to see her lost people saved. Now, we understand that the fruits that we bear, hey, they last a lot longer than us on this earth. We see that her works will last a lot longer, amen? And I want that to be like my walk. If the Lord allows time to stand and I just go by the way of the grave, I want my works to honor Him. So we see that Job knew his Redeemer liveth, and we see that we understand that he didn't know exactly what was going to happen next, and we understand here that these three men who claimed to be friends were discouraging rather than encouraging, but we know that Job knew the God he served. We understand that Job knew the God he served. I want you to look real quick. That if we were to analyze this, we would find it very hard-pressed to find someone who suffered as much as Job other than Christ. There is no one that suffered like Christ. I'm going to be honest, I'm not trying to shortchange Job, but he did not go through a millionth of what Christ went for us. And I think that truthfully, the words that I use, it's only earthly words. There was so much more that Christ went. You know, here's the understanding. Here's what I'm trying to understand is this. Is that how in the world can some sit in pews day after day, listen to the preached word, me tell you real quick that, hey, Christ died for you. That there's only one way to heaven, but are more worried about a football game that's going on this evening. Or more worried about what social media has to say about some reality TV star or something like that. We have become numb to the real. We have become calloused to feeling. You see, here's the thing. This book is not a book of drama. This is a book of love. This is a book of wonder. This is a book of reality. Here's the thing. I do not live in a virtual reality state. I live in a world of reality. Of truth. You see, you must understand that science keeps changing. But His Word is everlasting. Forevermore. So we see here that as we preach God's word, as we deliver God's word, as we know that we serve a living God, that there is one who has given us a reason to face reality. And meaning this, that if you look real quick with me to Isaiah chapter number 53, I did not have this marked, forgive me. Isaiah chapter number 53, very common, very familiar scripture, and I use that term lightly, not taking glory away from His blessed word, but I want you to look real quick. This world will not suffer for you. This world wants you to suffer for them, wants you to agonize for them. I did not get saved till I was 21. Trust me, I know about the world. But I look back real quick, Brother Fields, I look back at that little boy back there, my son, who got saved last year. And I think to myself, what is he going to endure next? What is he going to endure tomorrow? We see here in chapter 53, I'm going to go ahead and start the first verse. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Hey, I want to tell you real quick before I continue. He's already died for us. Okay, Isaiah knew what was coming. He knew that they would look at him and think that he was a fanatic, a fake. Why? Because this world is so quick to turn truth into falsehood and to turn falsehood into truth. My Bible says that he is the truth. Amen. And the life. And the way. But I want you to look real quick. He says this in verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Job knew his Redeemer. The question is this morning. Do you know your Redeemer? Job knew his Redeemer lives. Now, that's kind of a grammatical error, isn't it? I didn't say his Redeemer lived. His Redeemer lives. Because Job of the flesh has gone away. But his Redeemer, his God, he lives. So we see here that not only did he suffer shame, but he did it for us. Now, I want you to understand, when I say that, I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about God. I'm not talking about the one who some believe that he's still on the cross. I'm not talking about the one who believes that he's some little man who, if you give him food and his belly starts to get happy, that then you know you're of good fortune or whatever they believe. I don't want to dive deep into that. What I'm saying is this, is that there is only one way to heaven. Job knew it. Paul knew it. Peter knew it. And I know it. I know my Redeemer. Better yet, my Redeemer knows me. I know my Redeemer lives. And because of that, I will live forevermore. But I want you to also look at this verse 3. Real quick, Job knew the Redeemer would come. Now, to some of us, that's exciting. To some of us, that should be very terrifying. Hey, I'm not one who gets caught up in, I guess you would say, trying to scare people. That's not what I'm about. I have a desire and an unction to serve him. I have a desire and an unction to help people. I have a desire and an unction to know the condition of your soul. You may say, well, that's none of your business. It is my business. It's all of our business. But we see here in verse 25, real quick again, for I know that my Redeemer liveth and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. I want you to see here that Job knew that his Redeemer would come. We know that Job, hey, he lived before the coming of Christ through the birth of Mary. But we also know that Christ was still here. We know that Christ is the beginning and end. We understand that he's the Alpha and Omega. We understand that he's our King. We understand that he's our Lord. He's our Lily of the Valley. He's our Rose of Sharon. He's our Counselor. He's our Protector. He's our Path. He's our Guide. He's the Love of our life. We understand that, right? I believe that Job knew His Redeemer would come. And His Redeemer is our Redeemer. Jesus is God, amen. And let's not sugarcoat it. He wasn't just someone who came and did something for us. He was the one who did everything for us. We understand here that before He died on the cross, Job knew that His Redeemer would come. We understand here that before Christ would come triumphantly from the dead and ascend back to the Father, that Job knew His Redeemer would come. It's amazing that we see that we look for sufficiency, don't we? And here's what I mean. Job was sure of something. If I was to ask each and every one of you this morning, what are you sure of? Well, you may say, well, I'm sure that the sun will rise. I'm not. I don't know. You may say, well, I'm sure that we might yield some good crops. No, I'm not sure. You may say, well, I'm sure that I will get up out of this pew and be able to go home. I'm not. But I am sure of one thing. Our Redeemer. Jesus is coming. What does that mean to you this morning? It's almost like we have become calloused and jaded. It's almost like you hear it so much that the monotony, the repetitiveness of this, it seems to go through one ear and come out the other. But if we were to declare to you that at any moment, some of us would not be here. Would you be one of those who would have left? That's a kind of a sobering thought, isn't it? But some are thinking, it's just words. You see, I have faith in God. You put your faith in something so much. You give your tithes to something so much. Whatever it is, whatever you want, you look at it. Perhaps it's this iPad. Perhaps it's this microphone. Perhaps it's this bottle of water. Guess what? Here's the thing. There's always going to be something better coming after it. My father-in-law used to preach on tithe. And here's what I mean by that. He used to say it's amazing at how many times you will see the greatest example of tithe. And I thought to myself, what do you mean? He used to say this is our best formula yet. This is the next great one. This is the Tide Pod, the Tide Dispenser. Hey, we've added more concentration and less water. I mean, it keeps going and going and going. But always something better is coming. There is nothing better than Jesus. There is nothing better than God. There is nothing better than the one who went to the cross for you. There is nothing better than the one who died for you. Hey, and there's nothing better than that one who is coming back for His bride. And Job knew that. Job knew that. But the question is are you wholehearted? I mean, just are you sure that what you have this morning is okay? Will get you to heaven? I'm not talking about a little anxiety. I'm not talking about me making you feel. That's not what this is about. I'm talking about this in general. Are you sure? Would you want to go home and lay your head down on your pillow this evening with what you have? Job didn't even have a pillow. Job had some old pieces of pot that he used to scrape his skin because he was in such pain. But he knew his Redeemer. He knew his Redeemer lives. He knew his Redeemer's coming. But I'll finish this real quick. He knew there was life after death. We sing a song that says, if I go by the grave or the rapture, your face I see. And I think to myself that that's it. Right now, that's it. By the grave or the rapture? Either way, so Lord, come. I'm ready. But I pray this. Lord, save my lost ones.
Amen.
That should be our desire. Because as I've already said, Brother David, I know there's life after death.
Right.
It's perhaps not some that think it's the way it is. Hey, I'm not coming back as a caterpillar. All right, I'm not stuck in the middle. I'm not. There's not 144,000, and that's not what that's about.
Right.
But I will tell you this real quick. Even for those who aren't saved, there's something after this. I was listening to the prayer this morning, and the request was sent that you preach heaven sweet and hell hot. And you hear a lot more in this blessed book about hell than you do heaven. That's the seriousness of it. I don't know what that's going to feel like. Can I say this? I don't want you to know what that's going to feel like. You may live to be 150 years old, and I don't want to. But you may live to be 150 years old, have a good life, good house, good job, good family, never have to go to the nursing home, never have to know what it's like to be sick or be on medication or have a hip replacement or rods and screws in your neck. You may never have to know what earthly pain is like as far as that. You may live a good life. But we know that this life is fleeting. We know that we're not going to be here forever. We know that it's just one more breath away. One more moment away. Job knew that life was brief and death was certain and that our bodies would return to the dust. He was confident that he would stand in the presence of God and that his eyes would behold the one he served. I want to read this verbatim real quick. We as Christians must be assured of this as well. We sing that song, Blessed Assurance. Do you know what that means? We sing that song, What a Day That Will Be. Do you know what that means? You see, I believe that when we sing these songs, that's somebody's testimony we're singing. When we sing about His amazing grace. When we sing about how we want Jesus to hold our hands. How we serve an unchanging God. There's a reason behind that. And we must be assured of what we're singing about. But we see here this life is fleeting. And that whatsoever the world has to offer adds up to nothing. I preached a message about the young rich ruler. And actually, I think it's the next one that I have. And I'll give you the title of that. When you want everything that adds up to nothing. And this is the reason behind that, is that at the end, there's nothing. It doesn't matter the money in your bank account. It doesn't matter the baseball team that you root for. It doesn't matter about who's going to win tonight or who's going to lose tonight. The only thing that matters is this, is that if you're His. All too often we see people and they'll pop their collar and they'll stand up straight and say, I'm a Christian. But there's no fruits of it. I am a Christian. I'm His. And I'm nothing without Him. Job knew this. Brother Eric, I'm sure you know this, don't you?
If I start asking everyone here, and you truly look within yourselves and thought to yourself, absolutely. But if there's any seed of doubt, let me tell you this right now. There's something wrong. It may not be that you're not saved. It may be that you're out of the will of God. It may be that Satan's dealing with you and he's trying to push you away. It may be that you're not saved. When I was 11 years old, I made a profession to Christ. Why? Because someone told me that I had to. It meant absolutely nothing in here. Right. Nothing happened after that. I said I got saved. I went home and that was it. But the first time that my wife had invited me to church, and I heard the preached word, and I listened, and to be honest with you, was I completely paying attention? No, I wasn't. But something resonated with me, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. Did I sit there and bawl my eyes out? I didn't. In fact, it was like 2 months after that I actually let someone know I got saved. Because I didn't understand what was going on. I knew that I needed Jesus. And I remember I made it to that second pew and I fell down. And I said, Lord, I said, I don't know. I said, Jesus, I don't know what I'm doing. I said, all I know is I need you. And I'm sorry. When I went home and I did things differently, I wasn't filled with all this knowledge. I'm still not filled with I'm not filled with knowledge at all. But I am filled with the absolute truth that He is the only way. Amen. And that I will tell you this morning, it's not for me, it's not for anyone else, it's for you to know, are you sure? Amen. So as I begin to just have a song get played, can someone get a song for us? You know what, actually, can you sing that song, He is Faithful, for me? And I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning. I will not call you out. I guess you'd say embarrass you, but I would ask you for this. Every eye's closed. Every head bowed. Take a moment. Take a moment and be sure. If you're sure, praise God. But if there's any seed of doubt, if there's just any thought or inclination that it may not be all well, and you need prayer, would you please raise your hand? Realization that you're not saved and you want to be, but you're just not sure how to be. You want someone to pray with you. Would you raise your hand? If you know for a fact that you're saved, but you still need prayer because there's just not some things that aren't right, would you raise your hand? You can look up here now. I'm saying nothing. But I will honestly tell you this, that if there is anything wrong, anything that needs to be worked on, anything that you're not sure about, bring it before Him. As they play a song, don't waste your time. Don't waste His time. The only time to act is now. Today is the day of salvation. Joshua looked at the people and said, choose you this day whom you shall serve. It's that accepted moment. It's that accepted time. You may say, well, I just don't feel it. You may say, well, how do I know? You just had someone stand up here for the past, I guess you would say, 35 minutes and tell you about Jesus. The offering has went out. The invitation has come. Will you accept the invitation or will you tell Him no? I'm reminded of those three who denied Him. First one said, well, I've bought a plot of land. The next one said, I've bought a yoke of oxen. The third one said, well, I've taken a wife. And they missed that opportunity. Don't miss your opportunity. As you play.
Do you have a burden? It feels you can no longer bear. You lift your voice to heaven, calling out
to God in prayer. Is there something you need to pray about
this morning? You're wondering, can he even hear your trouble
or someone you need to pray
cries?
For this morning?
My friend, do not be in
despair. It's always open.
Always
all you have to do is take that one
faithful.
Step, that one movement.
He is faithful. Every need he will provide. He will never forsake you. He is faithful. Our God is faithful. So don't forget his promises, for he is always true. He is faithful. Do you have lost loved ones and you've been praying for them so long? Does it seem that they will never repent of their sin? You're wondering, have they gone too far? Can God even still take them in? Can he forgive them and make them new? He is able. He is able. Every need he will provide. He will never forsake you. He is able, our God is able. So don't forget his promises, for he is always true. He is able. He is able. He is able. Every need provide, he will never forsake you. He is faithful, our God is faithful. So don't forget his promises, for he is always true. He is faithful. Don't forget his promises, for he is always true. He is faithful.
They're going to continue to play. And as I don't want to dismiss, I know that we eventually will have to, but I'm going to take a few moments, because I don't want this to be wasted. I don't want this to pass by. You may say, well, I'm ready to go home. Believe me, I am too. But I'm not talking about the one in Anderson. I'm ready to be with him. You may say, well, that's kind of dark, isn't it? No, that's the greatest thought that you could ever have, is to be with Jesus. He has shown himself time and time again faithful and able, capable, loving, caring. The world would have you say that it's just not possible. Well, we've even heard this morning in the Sunday school teaching, God does things that the world think is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Amen. If you would have went back 12 years ago and someone would have looked at me and said, there is no way you're not the same person. That's impossible. All I would have had to say was, with God, all things are possible. I'm thankful this morning that you have allowed, that the pastor allowed me to come, and it's an honor and a blessing. Please continue to remember him as he's conducting business. I'm done. So, go on, brother.